If the tongue can set the course of life on fire for good or for evil, what ripple effect are curses, angry words, or bitterness sending into personal relationships and local culture today? Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I have so much fun making these daily devotions because they encourage me each and every day to walk in God's word, to shine the light in the darkness, and allow him to be glorified in me and through me. If you're enjoying them as well, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and or place in your huddle if you're in that Washington Defender app. Why do we do all this? Because we're changing our hearts. We're allowing the double-edged sword of God's word to cut away all the flesh so that we can then transform the culture, to transform the public square, the policies, the rules, the heart of this world in which we live in. So share God's word, share the devotional today. We are in a series called None Righteous, and the subtitle is Mouth is Full of Cursing. And so we're going to dive in. It's a pretty easy scripture read at 3:14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, Paul is writing to Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, barbarians, all the above, and he's saying there's only one way to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ our Lord, and he's laying out a foundation that Jew and Gentile alike need a Savior, that there are none who are righteous in and of ourselves. Now, does that take away that Israel is God's chosen people, that God has chosen Israel as his holy nation? No, not at all. We still have the Abraham covenant. It's still in effect. There's still a promise there. But we understand the idea of salvation only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's see where this phrase comes from. It comes from Psalm 10. It says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord?" I mean, I can relate to that. "Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble?" Have you ever felt this? Like, the psalmist is so raw and real. It's so amazing. "In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised." We are living in these days just like David was in his day, where in pride they pursue us and they try to afflict things on us, but we want them to be caught in their what they've been devised. "For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." Look at this. This is how the wicked is. There is no God. There is no God. So if you have that reoccurring thought that there is no God, I'm not saying that you're wicked. I'm just saying you need to reevaluate. God is exposing himself to you. It says that the truth of God's word is being written upon our hearts and in our lives, and that he's making himself evident to each and every human being. You might want to change that from "there is no God" to "I don't know God." You know, "I don't understand God. I don't get God. God seems to abandon me," versus "there is no God," because he does say it's haughtiness in their countenance not to seek him. "His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all of his adversaries, he snorts at them. He says to himself, I will not be moved throughout all generations. I will not be in adversity. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression." So here's the reality. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you may want to say that the church is an oppressive institute. But the reality is that your mouth is full of deceit and curses and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. There's cursing. This is where it comes from, right here. And the reality is, I'm not saying the church has been perfect. I'm not saying that our country's been perfect. I'm not saying that people, Christians, are perfect. I'm not saying any of that. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. We're all sinners. But what I am saying is we're all sinners in need of a Savior, not just we're all sinners. We recognize our need for a Savior to be transformed from the inside out. And the oppression actually comes from those who say that there is no God. They're oppressing us, and we need to understand that. And that this idea of under our tongues, that we can have mischief and wickedness. He sets in the lurking places of the villages and the hiding places. He kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into the net. He crouches, he bows down, and the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never, ever see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not be afflicted. Why has this wicked spurned God? And he has said to himself, you will not require it. You know, this is interesting. They cry out that there is no God, that God has forgotten, and that his judgments will not be required of us. Man, does that not sound like today? Does that not sound like what the day and age which we're living in, where we kill our babies, we kill the elderly, we somehow afflict so much on those who are poor, we keep those who are addicted, we do all these things that are contrary to God's word, we overtax the widow, we do these things, and God is like, you think that we won't encounter God's judgment for these things? God's word is true. Let every man be found a liar. So where do we go from here? You have seen it, for you have beheld mischief and vexation to take it into your hand. The unfortunate commits himself to you. You have been the helper of the orphan. God is the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. O Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth will no longer cause terror. Aren't you looking forward to that day? So we started this out with the idea that our tongues can be very wicked, filled with cursing. And we went back to the Psalm, I think it was Psalm 10, and we read in Psalm 10:7 that this scripture comes from somewhere. In other words, Paul is quoting the Old Testament. And if you're a Jewish individual, I want to encourage you, if Paul, who is a Jew and who was a Jew, is quoting the Old Testament, maybe reading the New Testament and seeing what's quoted in the Old Testament would be powerful. So it might help illuminate some of those things. So the power of the tongue. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such, we will incur a stricter judgment. You may be in the educational system, and you need to recognize that you are a culture-shaping individual. You're shaping the next generation. And as a teacher, you're going to have stricter judgments in the future. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they obey us, we direct the entire body as well. Look at the ship also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also our tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small flame. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of the beasts and the birds and the reptiles and the creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. This verse 9, over my walk in the public square, continues to be so convicting. We should really evaluate our words and whether we are cursing men, calling them idiots or calling them this or calling them that. It's so easy to do when we find people who oppose us. But these people have been created in the image and the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. Man, Lord, we repent. Lord, we turn to you. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree from my brethren produce olives or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Isn't that powerful? Our tongues can set on fire our course of life, blessings and curses. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow, the power of our tongue. So you're headed into that public square today. You are driving to work today. You're walking in right now. Maybe you got your earbuds or AirPods on. And the question is, what is your mouth going to be full of? Is it going to be full of praise? Is it going to be filled with God's truth of God's divine reality revealed inside of you? Are you going to be full of patience, kindness, no record of wrong, bearing up underneath other people? Are you going to be full of love? And with our mouth, is our mouth filled with righteousness, speaking the things of God through the word of God to the people of God so that we can be transformed by God? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we know that our mouth can be filled with a lot of things, blessings and curses. Our mouth can be filled with wickedness or praise to you, God. Cleanse us, O Lord. Cleanse our mouth. We will repent of every loose and careless word that we've ever spoken. We want to be cleansed by you, God. We give you our mouth today. Use it mightily to bring a blessing to somebody else today. Go before us in all things and surround us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.